Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you for staying with me. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm excited about our guest this half hour, Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, is with us. He's our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust, and he is also, as you need to know, he's the chairman of the Congressional Advisory Panel on Terrorism, as you've heard me, Jim and I, talk about in the past, and we're going to get him to give us another report on what's going on. Governor, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to have a chance to talk to your listeners again.
It's good to have you back, as always. I appreciate the work that you're doing, the fact that you're continuing to give back to your nation the way you are right now, and we appreciate that very much. We appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Okay. Where are we right now? We're on high alert?
We are. Is the condition orange, and it's still remaining that way. And I think that they went to condition orange because they had some information. They heard a lot of information that suggested there might be an attack here in the United States.
Chatter, as they call it.
Yeah, they call it chatter. Lots of that back and forth. But then they had a very specific report also, which turned out to be not correct. But I think that they've decided that the country ought to remain on a high alert as we do this run-up towards a war in Iraq.
Right.
I think that there is some value to this system. I think it's sometimes, I mean, frankly, I think it comes across as a little silly with all this duct tape and all that sort of
thing. Yeah, that was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think that what they're really doing with this, the value that it really has, is that, number one, you're really talking to the to states and locals under this kind of condition. That opens up a line of communication, which is pretty vital. Second, mm-hmm. you're talking to the terrorists, because what you're really doing is pronouncing to them that you know they're coming and that their chances of success are less. And you're talking to the American people, because the goal here is to shock the American people into having an overreaction so that we do some really crazy things here. And this is a way of calming the people and letting them know that there is a possibility, so if an attack occurs, that we don't overreact.
Well, isn't it also important that that Americans really don't become disconnected from the realities of terrorism? I mean, don't we all need to say to ourselves, you know, there are people out there who are intolerant, who don't like us for whatever reason. We don't think we've done anything wrong, but they are out there. And don't you think that all makes us to be a little more invested in the overall political and policy-making process in our country?
Well, I think that it does, and there might be some value in the long run to that, because we have been becoming more and more disconnected from our political lives and sort of taking the position, let somebody else do it, and not always good people get into office under those conditions. And you might think it's kind of funny that I said that it's calming to the people, because the truth is that with the duct tape pronouncement, they actually frazzled people's nerves,
right.
I think. But what I'm really trying to communicate is that they're saying that something might happen so that it isn't such a shock if it does happen. So clearly they're taking it very seriously. But I think the people are becoming more connected, and I think that that may have a long-term a better result for us, because we have to be connected in order to have a decent political life.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, when we select our elected representatives, in the past, you know, we're over here in this big country. We're surrounded by two friendly nations and a couple of oceans. And so we feel pretty insulated and pretty safe until a year and a half ago. And then, so now when we talk to our politicians, our national politicians about their job, the ones who are there who want to get reelected and the ones who want to be elected, when we're listening to them now, I think we're paying a little more attention to the full job that they've got, not just bringing money back from Washington, but helping to make the decisions that protect our country.
It's clear that we have to decide as an American people what we're looking for as a society and what we expect out of government. And, you know, I think that we should not continue to move in the direction that takes away from business and entrepreneurship. We should be encouraging small business people to start their businesses and become more independent. And frankly, small business people have to play a major role in their local political parties and in making decisions about who they're going to support financially and otherwise. or otherwise you just end up with this philosophy that the government is going to do everything for everyone, in which case eventually that, of course, will fail.
Right. Absolutely. Well, the in a recent interview that I saw that you gave in December, you made the point that that the threats to our country are not diminishing.
They're not. And, of course, once again, with a run-up to Iraq, there's always that type of danger that's ongoing. I think that we are getting better prepared. And as we continue to measure this threat, it's very difficult to know, honestly, the nature of the threat. It may be that we now are getting things in place that will prevent these kinds of attacks, but we still have to be vigilant.
Governor, stand by. When we come back, I'm going to get the governor to tell us about his thoughts on Homeland Security, that whole new division. The Coast Guard was handed over to them yesterday. Governor Gilmore is a part of the law firm of Kelly, Dry, and Warren out of Washington, D.C., by the way, folks. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email. And this week's article is a little bit of a retrospective on what got us to this point in the economy. What's gotten us to where we are right now? All the frustration that a lot of you have is titled 1999 to 2003, The Bad News and the Good News. And the good news about the article is the second part of each one of the pieces in the article is about what's good about what's happening right now. So maybe it'll give you a little bit of history and also a little bit of good news. So check that out. You still got time to get that article. Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest and our good friend. He's with the law firm of Kelly, Dry, and Warren, former governor of the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. Also, he is very important, does a very important thing as the chairman of the Congressional Advisory Panel on Terrorism. He's been doing that now, actually, for about three years now, haven't you?
Actually, the Congress and the Department of Defense came to me, Jim, back in the end of 1998, as a matter of fact, and stood up this commission at the January of 1999. It's not a typical inside the beltway commission that
right.
Nobody cares about. It's actually a commission that the Congress set up with people from all over the country, about 19 members, police, fire, rescue, emergency mm-hmm. services, health care, hospitals, and then also some people from the intelligence and military communities. So we have a broad cross-cut of thinking about this, and I think that we've set much of the policy that has established the Homeland Security policy of the United States.
And you actually have background, though, in your professional life in this area, don't you?
Well, I do. I had been a counterintelligence agent in the Army some years ago, and then when I became governor, after being attorney general, they basically said, look, you're running a state, you've got some military and intelligence background, why don't you come on in and do this for us, and I agreed to do it.
It's also known as the Gilmore Commission, too, folks. You might have seen it like that. Is there a website for your commission?
You can find our information on our staff organization's website, and that is the RAND Corporation. So if you look at RAND, RAND.org,
okay.
When their webpage comes up, there's a little search vehicle there because they've got so much work
right.
that's going on. And just put in Gilmore Commission and our material will pop up.
Okay, RAND.com or .org?
RAND.org.
.org, RAND, R-A-N-D,
RAND.org.
Okay, talk to us about Homeland Security. Big deal converting all these agencies into one. Is it going to work?
They'll make it work. Our commission actually recommended that there be an Office of Homeland Security with essential power to then force all of the other departments and agencies to coordinate a national strategy for Homeland Security. But they've gone to a defense department, sort of a defense department type of model now. That will enable them to write regulations, which is something, by the way, your listeners need to keep an eye on. Then, of course, we can begin to organize all the forces necessary to bring all this together in the country. But I believe that there's going to be a lot of law that has to be practiced in this area. There are going to be a lot of regulations that come out. People are going to want to comment on those and then go into compliance. Immigration is going to be an issue. Project finance is going to be an issue mm-hmm. as we think about critical infrastructure, telecommunications, spectrum. There's just environment, cybersecurity. There's going to be a lot of these issues that are going to have to be emerging now.
It, improve communication between the agencies, or is it going to create new or is there or how are we, I guess what I should say is, how are we going to prevent the barriers from being erected?
Well, the barriers have already been there. So this goal is to try to draw people together so that there can be a web of communication. And all of the different groups that have been just operating on their own in Homeland Security will now be within one department for some centralized type of management. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it'll work. This is very different, very new, and these agencies are very different. So,
it's unprecedented, isn't it, really, what they're doing?
Well, yeah, I think that they, it is, because when they established the Defense Department many years ago, they were at least drawing together all the different elements of the military.
Right.
This is very different. This is as different as the Customs Service, Immigration, Naturalization, Coast Guard.
Right.
It's just very different.
It's like fish and fowl, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think Secretary Ridge is working very hard to make this come to pass successfully, and I think that they will. If they work at it long enough, I think that they will. The trick here, Jim, is to keep our eye on the ball and determine what our ultimate goal is from creating the department, not the creation of the department itself. And that means that we have to work together with states and locals, get the funding into the states and locals, exercise and prepare and plan so that we can, frankly, begin to move away from all this so much. I began to talk about this just the other day, Jim. We have to begin to ask ourselves where we're trying to get to in the long run. And I don't think that it's a March state that's constantly on alert and in fear. I think we have to do the appropriate preparation. We have to do the planning that is necessary. We have to get the states and locals enabled and then move on with our lives. And remember that we're free and dynamic people and move on. And if the enemy attacks us, we hold our chin up the same way that we did during World War II and
yep,
continue to move ahead.
Absolutely. Governor, I know you're going to have to leave at the end of this segment to go on to another appointment. We appreciate you being with us. But before you go, quick question. If we can take out Saddam, how much do you think that's going to improve the terrorism the terrorism threat in the world? Is that going to be a big deal?
You know, Jim, we are in a changing world right now, and with the rising of the Middle Eastern community so much, I think that the president simply just did not feel that we could allow a fascist type of dictator to gain weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm, and then have that type of powerful influence over the Middle East. And so almost forced on us is a necessity of enforcing the old agreements and making sure that we light a brighter path for the Middle East and for the world in the future.
Well said, Governor Jim Gilmore. Thank you so much, sir, for joining us. We're looking forward to getting you back on again. And again, thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you. It's snowing here in the East.
Governor Jim Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. He'll be back. 10 till. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Against your skin so brown, and I want to sleep with you.
We're back. It's 7 till. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for hanging around this morning. Let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up in the show straight ahead. I've got some things I want to say in the next half hour about your small business, the world according to Blasting Game, I call it. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with Jorian Clark. And Jorian is one of our top cyberspace experts, one of our top experts to help us put our best foot forward in the marketplace online, how to incorporate our online strategy into our offline strategy, our traditional business model. And Jorian's going to do a good job of that. She'll be with us in coming up in the next hour. And also, by the way, coming up in the show straight ahead, in the days ahead, we've got Beverly Williams, who's going to join us to talk to us about home-based business issues. And we've got some Joan Pride also with Kiplinger Letters will be with us. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about the rest of the week a little bit later on. You know, Governor Jim Gilmore was just here. And I'm so proud of him. He's a governor he's former governor of Virginia. He was asked while he was the governor to step up to this panel and to chair this panel on terrorism. And you got to take your hat off. Whether you agree with him or not, he's a Republican. You know, you might not have voted for him if you're in Virginia. But I just admire people like that who really care about America. I'm sure he's not getting any money for being on that commission, and it's a volunteer type of thing. It's an advisory panel, And it's a big job. And so I just admire people like that when they do things like that. And I encourage all of us to step up to the plate whenever we're given a chance, because this thing that we're going through right now, folks, and I sort of alluded to it earlier in the previous segment, this thing we're going through right now is about the future, not just of the world. This thing with terrorism, the intolerance that's going on around the world with some of the people in the world who just can't stand the idea of the West. I mean, there are people like that out there. They just can't stand the idea that they don't like progress. I'm talking about the terrorists. They don't like progress. They like things their way, and they're totally intolerant of anyone else's opinions. And I mean, they don't even like each other sometimes, because if they vary from the very narrow view that they have of life, if someone else varies from them, in fact, Osama bin Laden has had some pretty nasty things to say about Saddam Hussein, because you know he's not as strict a Muslim as Osama thinks he is. But as long as we've got people out there like that, you and I, as not only as Americans, but as citizens of this earth, we've all got to do our part to and that could mean just being vigilant. It could mean being determined. A lot of it means being patient. I know one of the things I get a little bit irritated about are people who complain about some of the steps that our country, our government, is having to take in order to try to protect us. I mean, think about the fine line that they're walking right now. Think about the fine line that, and I'm not talking about just the elected representatives. I'm talking about the people in the organizations like the FBI and the CIA and all the different folks who are employees. They're not elected individuals. They've got a tough job to do, because what they've got to do is they've got to walk the fine line between protecting you as you expect them to and as you would condemn them for if they didn't protect you. And I probably would too. They've got to walk that line, the line between that and not impinging on our liberties. Now, that's one thing we are in America. If we're anything, we're about liberty, aren't we? It goes all the way back to the common law, the English common law. The right of habeas corpus was an act that's been, you know, that's something that's been around for 400 years. The English Bill of Rights was in a reality long before there was an America, and so or an official America, I guess I should say. And so this is who we are, isn't it? And I'm trying to remember who said this, but one of the great writers said, "We began with freedom, this country in America. We began with freedom." I think Walt Whitman may have said that. We began with freedom. So that's what we're all about, aren't we? But I'll tell you what, freedom isn't free. You've heard that before. It isn't free. We've got to make sure we've gone through a long period of time here in this country where we've deferred the maintenance of our freedom. And we're having to catch up right now. And until we get caught up, it's going to look a little ragged. It's going to look a little ugly sometimes. And I think we need to give the people who we've assigned those tasks of protecting us, I think we need to give them a little bit of a break. They got a hard job to do. I promise you, I'm glad I'm not having to do it, and I'm glad there's somebody out there that is willing to do that. So let's give them a little bit of a break. Let's be a little bit patient, and I know we will. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every single member of our military standing a post around the world, and everybody who's protecting us. God bless you. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.